Welcome, Royals fans, to another weekly edition of Inside Athletics Podcast. I'm Sports Information Director James DeBoer, sitting in for Dave King today. Dave is off to sunny San Diego for NCAA conventions out there, and I feel a little bad for him. I learned he was going to San Diego, and I said, "Oh, well, it's going to be perfect in 80 degrees because it's always 80 degrees in San Diego." And he said, "Well, not like I'm going to be outside to experience it anyway." So that's one of the sad parts, I guess, of these conventions that some of the administration goes to. They go to these really fun places, but they're stuck indoors about 95% of the time. So I feel a little bad for Dave. He's got to fly across the country and doesn't even get to enjoy the beach or the nice weather or anything like that. And couldn't even spend an extra day. He's got to jet back, I think, Saturday already. So a lot of the folks that are going from around the conference are staying until Sunday and get to spend a few extra hours out there. But just the way flights worked out for Dave and a busy season for him, I think he's just coming back Saturday night. But it'll be interesting to see some of the topics he comes back with. I think the convention maybe didn't have quite as many huge votes or talking points this year as previous times, but he'll give us a good report coming up probably next week. Let's just take a quick look at what's going on. It's been a busy few days recently with a couple of really big games Wednesday nights for the EMU basketball teams. And, of course, a huge weekend coming up as a couple more sports are really gearing up for their winter/spring season. So we'll take a look at that as well. But let's dig into Wednesday nights. Very exciting here in Harrisonburg, as it's been called, the Poultry Road Rivalry. I'm never sure what I think about the name of that rivalry between Eastern Mennonite University and Bridgewater College, but hey, if we've got to have a title, I guess it can't hurt. You know, the Daily News Record is using it, Bridgewater College is using it, so we might as well jump in and use it too, I figure, and we have our own little nickname for the rivalry. But always a great game when EMU and Bridgewater get together. Last year, the Royals men won both contests at Bridgewater and here at EMU, but the biggest win was 10, and I think the other game was a four-point game. Bridgewater continually improving, and this year loaded with upperclassmen, seniors and juniors. Really expected a dogfight last night, and that's what it was. As I talked with Coach Kirby Dean afterwards, I said, you know, that first half seemed like a defensive slugfest. And he said, you know what, I think both halves kind of felt like that, he said. And that's just what happens sometimes when rivals get together. He said they're so amped up to play defense well that then when they get down the offensive end, sometimes they're a little out of sync because they're trying too hard. And that's what it looked like at times last night. The two teams combined to shoot 38% in the first half. 26-25 was our halftime score last night. And that doesn't happen very often, I don't think, for either of these teams. Low scoring, and especially when they got together, low scoring. But the second half proved very exciting. Bridgewater, impressively, built up a seven-point lead. You know, in your arena, that's a hard thing to do. We had a really great crowd last night. I'll talk about that in a bit as well. But so the Eagles had a seven-point lead with about 12 minutes left in the game. And the Royals, I think, were caught in a weird substitution pattern and had a couple of pieces on the floor that maybe, I think every so often they just kind of expect, you know, with a substitution pattern, we might end up giving up a few points here. And that was maybe what happened at that point. They were down by seven, but then kind of solidified back up. It was still a three-point game. Bridgewater led with about 8 minutes left. And I really thought the exciting part of last night's game, if you don't know, by the way, EMU won that one. At least I better give that away before I keep telling too much of the story. But the exciting point to me, at least at that point, our lone senior, RJ Sims, really just stepped up and basically took over the last 7.5 minutes of the game, which is very exciting to see. RJ has a tendency to do that. He's one of those guys that, you know, you hear about these players that have ice in their veins, and RJ is one of those, just does not display much emotion on the floor. Not that he doesn't have it, he just doesn't display it a lot. You just don't see it. He just kind of goes out there and does his thing. Well, he's really struggled the last few games leading up to this Bridgewater game. He'd scored a total of 12 points over the previous three games. And this is for a guy who's been averaging 14 or 15 points a game throughout the year. So he was in a pretty big slump for the Royals, and still at that point of the game only had 2 points. Well, he ended up scoring 14 of EMU's final 20 points in the game, and didn't miss a field goal attempt. He hit a couple of three-pointers, a couple of jumpers, and just looked like he was doing what he wanted, and nobody was going to stop him. And RJ basically just took over the game and pushed EMU to the win. They won by 8 points. So that was just very exciting for me. And I know Coach Kirby Dean would kind of say the same thing. He talked with RJ, I think, earlier in the week, actually, and just trying to figure out what was going on, and said, hey, you know, you're a senior. You know, don't go out on a low spell like this. Just go out there and have fun, relax, and just have fun out there. And I think RJ was a little more relaxed Wednesday night, and it showed as he just took over down the stretch. Ended up being the leading scorer for the Royals with 16 points. Did get plenty of help, Marcel Crump and James Williams each with 14. But just a really exciting basketball game. The Eagles are a very talented squad. They've beaten two top 25 teams at home this year, both of them ODAC teams, with Hampton Sydney and Virginia Wesleyan. The Eagles have beaten both of those teams in conference play. So a lot to be said for the Eagles. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. They can be a really good team. I didn't shoot very well last night against EMU, but they're a tough team to handle. Ed Reddick led them with 22 points, and he's one of those guys that's always going to get his points. It was a lot of fun to watch him play as well. It's hard to say that sometimes. It was fun to watch an opposing player play, but it certainly was in that case. But so the Royals just with a very impressive victory, and it also snapped a three-game losing streak. So I know the guys were really in need of a win just to snap the losing streak, and they're trying to build up some momentum here. The ODAC race on the men's side, such a jumble. It's just amazing when you look at it. I think when we look at the end of the season, we'll probably see three or four teams that are kind of the top-tier teams, and then maybe a couple of teams at the bottom that are clearly the bottom teams, and everybody else in the middle. So maybe, seeds 5 through like 10 or 11 coming up for the ODAC tournament. It's just going to be a mess, and anything can go anyway. And it might just depend on what your schedule happened to be this year and who you play once and who you play twice and where you steal a victory here or there. And I think it's just going to be really exciting, especially as I look ahead to the ODAC tournament. I'm not sure there's a clear-cut favorite on the men's side. I still personally think that Randolph-Macon is going to be one of the best teams when we hit tournament time, and they are not they're among the top teams right now, but they've had their struggles as well. And so if I think that about them, I'm just saying that I think the men's race is going to be incredibly balanced, and really it's just going to be exciting to be down in Salem, I think, for the men's basketball tournament. That really, it just depends what team is hot at the right time, and I think this year more than many other years, the balance of the ODAC is really going to show off. And, we might not have a team that, destroys somebody in the NCAA tournament and runs to a national championship. I don't know if we're quite that talented this year around the conference, but certainly balanced, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Let's look over at the women's game a second, because they had an equally important win Wednesday night. They were on the road, a tough trip to make on a Wednesday, traveling all the way to Virginia Wesleyan. So there you got a four-hour drive on a school day. And so they headed out. It was Coach Kevin Griffin's birthday, and I joked with him ahead of time that, for your birthday I'm giving you a double-digit win over Virginia Wesleyan, and he just kind of chuckled about it. Well, the Royals women turned on the defense Wednesday night. They trailed 12-10 about 6 or 7 minutes into the game, and they did not allow the Marlins to score for another 17 minutes. I think last year we had a big streak like that once, but it was maybe like 9 minutes. So to shut down a team totally for 17 minutes, that's almost half of a ball game where they didn't allow the home team to score. Very impressive. And during that time, I think the women scored about 20 straight points. they led 28-12 at halftime. Virginia Wesleyan is a very good team, which is what's so impressive about this win. They got to within 9 at one point, but then the women just kind of went back out and had a double-digit win. So very impressive win for our women at Virginia Wesleyan Wednesday night. The Marlins entered the game as the lone team in the ODAC without a loss. They had surprised some teams. They're always a good team, a very respectable team. They surprised Guilford in Greensboro on Saturday. I think a lot of people were surprised to see the Marlins come out with a win in that one. But EMU really handled things well. They rebounded well. Our women did from a loss on Saturday. So it was fun to see them turn things around and just put a stamp down in defense. The offense wasn't working in high gear. But they only scored 55 points, which I think was actually their second lowest offensive output of the year. But when you only allow 36 in a game, 55 is plenty to get the victory. So that was exciting to see as well. Two players that I want to note, one each from the men and the women. Bianca Igarza from the women's side, she scored her 1,000th career point this past Saturday in the game at Roanoke. It's been very exciting to watch her career starting out freshman year, definitely coming off the bench. Not being a huge contributor, but contributing in her sophomore year, she just exploded. And it was so interesting her sophomore year that she continued to come off the bench, partially because I think Coach Griffin didn't know how big of a talent he had at the beginning of the year because she improved so much during the offseason. But then he didn't want to mess up the patterns that they had with someone else starting in front of her. He said, hey, if she's going to play this well off the bench, we'll just keep it this way. And so Bianca actually came off the bench as a sophomore, but was still named an All-ODAC first team member that year, which is relatively unheard of. And so very exciting to see a player such as herself who's worked as hard as she has. Also a nursing major, a very tough major here at EMU. She's worked so hard, you know, on the court, in the classroom, and to come out as a 1,000-point scorer. I think just the 13th or the 11th. I forget which. It was an odd number I had in my head. It's one of those two. That she is the 13th or the 11th 1,000-point scorer for the women here at EMU. So a very nice note, and I'm sure that she would tell you, and I'm sure Coach would tell you, that, you know, of course, we want the wins. We want a good run at the end of the season. But a very nice personal milestone, I think, for Bianca Ugarza to be, you know, breaking the 1,000-point barrier. Well, RJ Sims, who we talked about, he as well is closing in on 1,000. Didn't quite get there Wednesday night. But I believe, going off the top of my head, I think he's just 7 points short right now of breaking 1,000. So the men play a game on Saturday at Emory and Henry. 7 points certainly within reach for a single game for RJ. And if he hits it, I think he'll become the 21st EMU man on the basketball program to break the 1,000-point barrier. A fun note is the last one on the men's side was Andrew Thorne just last year. And so it'd be fun to see RJ kind of move up there. But RJ is another one of those guys. He's been a 4-year contributor. He started a handful of games his freshman year, which was back when we had the packed roster full of seniors. And he started a couple of games and was a contributor to that team back then, and has just slowly become a very good leader, a quiet leader, but a leader for the Royals. Lord willing, no injuries or anything else. It'll be fun to see RJ break that 1,000-point barrier as well, hopefully this weekend. And we'll find small ways to recognize them in the home games following those barriers. But I do want to mention as well, I thought the crowd at Yoder Arena, very good Wednesday nights, and for that matter, very good Saturday, this past Saturday night when the men hosted Hampton Sydney. It wasn't as big of a crowd last Saturday, but the crowds have been getting more vocal the last couple of games and just providing a great atmosphere, which is one of the very fun things about college sports, I think, that you don't always see at the professional realms. You often hear of, you know, like in college football and the NFL, you hear of these athletes going to the NFL and they love playing football, but they'll still talk about the atmosphere that they loved from college and just the feel from it. And that's one of the things that you get in college, tighter arenas and just different feels. And that's been very exciting for me the last couple of games, just to watch Yoder Arena come alive. And it kind of feeds into the play of our players, and it'll be fun to see that continue this year. And I hope it was just one of those things that, you know, we had a fan-wise and atmosphere-wise, we kind of had a slow start to the year, and maybe that's just always the way it works out with the season starting right before the semester break, and, you know, we'll have home games during a holiday weekend, et cetera, et cetera. And so hopefully we can see that fan base continue to turn out in Yoder Arena over the next couple of weeks and just provide the great atmosphere that we've had the last couple of games for the men's side. The women are at home this Saturday, the basketball women playing host to Hollins, another ODAC matchup. It's a 2 o'clock game, so coming out for that, we'll make a, I don't even want to call it a presentation, but we'll give a little mention to Bianca Ugarza. It might be a small presentation. I will use the word, I guess. But for her, before the game starts, so coming out at 2 o'clock. Preceding that, of course, is men's volleyball, and we haven't mentioned that in this podcast, but we're very excited for the men's volleyball season starting up. This Saturday is an exhibition, but it's the alumni game, and that's always a great time, I think, to see so many players from the men's volleyball program here at EMU, which has been such a great program over the last 10, 20 years, to see so many of those guys come out and play. It's fun to recognize some of these guys that have meant a lot to the program, and also just to see what they're doing now, where they live, you know, what career path they've followed. So coming out, that's an 11 o'clock start on Saturday for the men's volleyball alumni match. 11 o'clock. I think one or two people have mentioned to me they've heard it's at 10. It's at 11. You can come early and watch and warm up. That's great. But the match actually starts at 11 o'clock. We'll try to webcast that as well. Probably won't have announcers. There certainly won't be any live stats from the alumni matched, but we'll try to get a webcast out on that. So you can look forward to webcasts on Saturday for volleyball and for the rest of the season for volleyball. Also this weekend, the track teams getting back in action with the second half of their season. It's indoor, of course, but they'll head down to Lynchburg for the Liberty Open hosted by Liberty University. But I think about six or seven of the ODAC teams will be at that meet. So it'll be fun not only to see our track teams get into full action again, but see them get into action against some of the other ODAC opponents that they'll see throughout the year at the ODAC Championships. Expecting a big year. You can see a preview on the track team on the website. Talks about some of the athletes we're expecting to read about a lot this year, and just all the records that we broke last year, and hopefully that we're planning to break some more this year. I found it interesting to hear what Jason Lukowitz had to say, the coach, about breaking records and what that means to them and to the program, where it's going. But just check out the preview on the website. The men's volleyball preview should be coming out as well next week, so keep an eye out for that on the emeroyals.com next week. Again, this weekend, basketball, women at home at 2, and the men are on the road. If you're in Southwest Virginia, can travel down to Emory. Emory and Henry College playing host to the men. It's also a 2 o'clock start down there, an important ODAC game as well, as our men try to build a little momentum here in the middle of January. But very exciting games this past week. Very exciting games and a stretch coming up next week. Mark your calendars for next week, Saturday, January 25. You can come to Yoder Arena at 11 o'clock in the morning and stay there until 10 o'clock at night and watch sports all day long. It's going to be one of those days. We have men's volleyball in the morning, women's basketball, men's basketball, each playing Guilford, and then men's volleyball actually playing again that night. But that's all next week, Saturday. So mark your calendars now. Don't go anywhere else. Don't have fun with anybody else. Just come to EMU next week, Saturday, for a very big day in Yoder Arena. But for now, for Dave King, who's off in sunny San Diego, unfortunately stuck indoors somewhere, for all of us here in Harrisonburg who are walking around on a chilly, snowy campus, thanks for tuning into the Inside Athletic Podcast. Dave King should be back next week. Until then, I invite you all to make it a great week.